ask an interest in your prayers as we look into the Word of God this morning. We're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday as we continue our series on the foundation of truth, and we're going to continue looking into scriptural principles. People, sometimes they say, I want black and white scripture. If it doesn't say it, we don't have to do it. Point we made last week is the scripture does not say thou shalt not smoke marijuana or thou shalt not take drugs. And yet, it doesn't say that in black and white. And yet, there are scriptural principles that teach against taking drugs. And so then the other side of that is people can say, well, there's a principle and you can make the Word of God say about anything you want it to say, especially when you take it out of context. I had someone last week, and I don't think I shared this last Sunday, but this last week I was somewhere and a brother told me, he said, you can find a scripture to say whatever you want. He told me, you can say there's a principle to say that you should not cut limbs off of a tree. So we could start teaching that saints shouldn't cut limbs off a tree because the scripture says what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. You may say that, but that sounds a little ridiculous. But that's what the scripture says. What God had joined together, and God is the one that put the limb on the tree. You could say, but go look at the context, right? He was talking about marriage. He was not talking about a tree limb. But the point being is you can find a scripture, and you can try to make it prove almost any point that you want it to prove. And so we need to, as it teaches us in 2 Timothy, second chapter in the 15th verse, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To rightly divide means to cut straight. The Lord wants us to cut straight. How can we cut straight? And how can we rightly divide and understand the word of truth if we don't study it? Because again, one preacher says one thing, one church teaches one thing, and another teaches something else. How can we know the truth? He has given us His Word, and another aspect that we're not going to focus on this morning, He has given us His Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. But the Spirit of the Lord will never lead us contrary to what the Word of God is. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word. The Holy Spirit will never contradict spiritual principles. So with this idea and concept of scriptural principles, people can use that carnally on both sides. Some can say that, well, if it doesn't say it, it's not black and white, I don't have to do it. And they use it to go to the world. And then you can find other people from a self-righteous standpoint. They can add two things and make the Bible hold up about any standard they want to impose on everybody around them. So we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us, recognizing that the Scripture addresses the situations that we face in this generation. Because we mentioned last week there are generational warnings. I mentioned Bobby socks. Some of you think, what in the world? But there was a time that those that wore Bobby socks, I believe, were women of ill repute, if you will. And I would say you don't want to wear that then because you don't want to be tied in or associated with someone. That was a generational warning. That was not a standard or a biblical doctrine that held for every generation. It met the generation because there was a principle involved. Just like I mentioned last week, if I wore a rainbow on my shirt, there's nothing wrong with a rainbow. God gave us the rainbows. And yet, if it was in Gay Pride Day and I was wearing a rainbow on my shirt, I don't think that would be real expedient, do you? because it would look like I was communicating support for an agenda that was after the flesh and not after God. So then if we warn our children and I tell the congregation I would be really careful, probably not wise to wear a rainbow, and then that takes off, and in three generations, saints don't wear rainbows. And that's where stuff like that gets started. So we want to always, when there's a generational warning in the church, when the enemy is coming in, there's things that need to be named out. But we need to be careful that it is always tied to the scriptural principle in what is happening around us, and so that we do not begin teaching in vain something that is not steadfast for all generations. The Bible does not change. Truth does not change. How that is practically lived out in our life, there is some variance and change in society. We don't look like they did in the time of Jesus, do we? But there are scriptural principles that address how we are to literally dress and conduct ourselves that endure from generation to generation. There are abuses of the Word of God, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's why we need to study the Word of God, know what it says. The New Testament teaches very clearly that we are to live to a higher standard than what the world lives. We are not called to be molded and shaped after the world. We are to be rooted in the Word of God. When people say, why do you live like you do? Why do you teach what you teach? Why do you practice what you practice? That we can come back and give the Word of God. This is the foundation of why we do what we do. And saints, after fellowships have been established for so many years, you will find people getting sedentary. And then pretty soon people begin following traditions and standards, and they don't even know why they're doing it. May the Lord help that not to be among us, because it is with many people. We need to study the Word of God. We need to know not only the black and whites that are spelled out, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not, those things we talked about last week. There's some things spelled out in the New Testament that it tells those that commit adultery, those that have idolatry, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Those are things that are listed out. They're spelled out. They're black and white in the Scripture. But there are many things that are not spelled out in black and white. And yet, in black and white, there's scriptural principles that we need the Lord to open up our understanding, that we would know how to live acceptably to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when we make decisions in our life, where we go, what we do, what we listen to, how we dress, what is our guiding principle? Why do we do what we do? Are we going to allow the world to shape those decisions? Or can we come back to the Word of God and say, what does the Lord want? What does the Bible teach me? And if it's not spelled out specifically, because the book couldn't contain the whole for every generation of every specific thing. And so the Lord gave principles that we need to understand. Well, there are principles in the Word of God of love and obedience, righteousness, and of holiness that can guide and shape and mold how we live our life. I know that we had a couple of, at least one message specifically on love, but I want to revisit it. Saints, if love is not the foundation of every decision we make, there is no standard that we can teach or preach or tradition that we can hold high enough that will get us into heaven. Okay? So when people come together and they have discussions, and may I say sometimes arguments, and what we might call hot button issues, areas of controversy. Well, can you do this and be saved? Or can I wear this? Can I dress in this manner? You can't tell me it's wrong. And people go back and forth. What's missing is many times is that foundation of love. If someone does not love God with all of their heart, okay, there is no standard that is going to fix it. And I'm never going to be able to convince someone that this is the most acceptable way based on the Bible if their heart, if they are not in love with God. This is the foundation to why we should live like we live, because I'm motivated by love. If we are motivated by fitting in with the group, if we are motivated by just holding up a traditional standard from 140 years ago, if we are motivated by what people think of us, folks, it's never going to be good enough. It's going to gender to bondage. But when we love God, I'm not trying to see what I can get away with and still be saved. Have you ever gotten into a discussion with someone and it was almost like, I can still do that and be saved? It was like, how close can I get to the world? And you can't tell me I'm not saved. Have you met people that are like that? It's like, you can't tell me. It's like, I'm not telling you you're not saved. But do you realize the motivation to see how close we can get to the world and still be saved is counterproductive to the very motivating principle of the scripture that, Lord, I love you. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's not seeing how close I can get to the world and still be saved. It should be, Lord, I want to get as close to you as I can. Lord, what are you pleased with? Lord, what is a safe place? Lord, I don't want to fall away. And do you realize that I'm standing up on this platform here, and I could get closer and closer and closer, and I could say, see, I'm still up here, but at some point I'm going to fall off. As children of God, if we really love God, shouldn't we try be getting away from the edge? There's a story of a little boy that every night his mother would hear a thump and he'd fall out of bed. She'd go up and check on him and he fell out of bed again. Next night he fell out of bed again, till finally one day he didn't fall out of bed. She said, Johnny, what happened? You didn't fall out of bed last night. He said, I moved away from the edge. Spiritually, folks, sometimes these discussions are based on the wrong foundation. It's not what we can get away with. It should be, Lord, what do you want me to do? What pleases you? So that's where the foundation of love, the principle of love, that, Lord, I love you more than these. I love you more than anything else. So when it comes time to make decisions, let's take the principle of love. Lord, what pleases you? It's not what, Lord, can I get away with this? Lord, are you pleased with me talking this way? Well, the Bible doesn't say I can't use that word. Okay. But is the Lord pleased with you talking that way? Lord, I love you. What do you want me to do? I think that'd take care of a lot of issues, saints, if we would just operate on the foundation of love. Because if we leave love out of it, we are left with a form. We are left with just a religious group. We are left with a shell. We are left with a form of godliness without that real driving power of love behind us. So if love is not the foundation and the guiding principle of what we do, everything else is in vain. So when people get in these arguments, I just want to caution us this morning. Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine, but I want you to understand, you're not going to convince someone of holiness and purity of life and a carefulness in the decisions they make if their heart is not to please God. Foundational principle is love God. And when we love, our perspective starts changing. When we love God, our outlook and our goals are transformed. Our paradigm is enlarged. And we're not going to be living in bondage to holiness. See, the enemy tries to make people think if you live a holy life, it's like this straitjacket
Well, if you get saved, how many of y'all have heard this? If you get saved, you can't do this and you can't do that. And you can't. That's not true. See, that's looking at it with it from a wrong paradigm. Holiness is not bondage when you love God. Holiness is actually liberating from the power of sin, the power of the world, and the power of the flesh. Holiness and purity is liberating. But it's only liberating when we operate off a foundation of love for God. May the Lord open up our understanding. And this is the reason why Paul taught in Romans 12:2. And I know maybe this is coming across a little more teaching than preaching, but in Romans 12, chapter 2, he said, be not conformed to what? To this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I'm operating from the foundation of a love of the world, folks, I'm never going to come to the right conclusions in my life. But he said we need, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the values and the goals and the standards of the world dictate our lives. Our world is living very selfishly. They're being guided in jobs and in marriage and in family relations and in the pursuit of its selfishness. Do what's good for you. Don't worry about anybody else. The pursuit of money, the pursuit of recognition, the pursuit of power, that's worldly, folks. That's of the world. There's a general biblical principle there. He said, be not conformed to the world. But be transformed. We need our minds transformed. It's not only our hearts. We need to have a spiritual heart set and a spiritual mindset. That I'm not going to judge the way the Lord wants me to live from the standpoint of the world. The wisdom of the world is what with God? It's foolishness with God. We're not operating, we're not judging ourselves based on the world standard. But the scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, give us the mind of Christ. But if I don't have the mind of Christ in a heart of love. And then some say, I mentioned it last Sunday, we just need to preach the standard higher. Yes, there are times to address things. But you can preach the standard, you can preach it as high as you want, you can add to the word, and you can take away with it in the name of godliness, but it's not going to change people's hearts. And we say, but people are getting worldly. Well, there need to be some heart changes. I'm concerned, but there need to be some minds transformed. That's the scriptural principle of everything we do should be from love. And that, Lord, I want to see it from your perspective. Because I want to please you. So there are some principles of truth that we'll touch on. One of those is holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation or in life, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, that word holiness means set apart, sanctified. Set apart for the exclusive use of the Lord. It means pure, uncontaminated, homogeneous, the same throughout. Said, don't be fashioned according to your former lust. So, can we take that practically then as a principle? Okay, what you look at. Well, some saints watch this and some don't do that. Okay. So we can have a minister's meeting and make a decision, say this is okay and this isn't. Is that the answer? There's a principle. that you will have to make decisions in your life based on these principles. Is this holy? Is it pure? The music you listen to, is it spiritually constructive? Or does it draw after the flesh? Does the music you listen to give you an appetite for things that aren't good and pure? The scripture doesn't say, thou shalt not listen to pop music. It doesn't say, thou shalt not listen to Taylor Swift music. It doesn't say it. But when you look at principle, I know I shared it last year. It took me, people started talking about Taylor Swift, and I didn't know anything about her. So I thought, I'll see what this is about. It took me less than 5 minutes. It took me literally a couple minutes. Renee and I sat down in front of the computer, and we figured out real fast what was motivating that agenda. There's a principle. Is it pure? Is it holy? Is it promoting a belief? And not everything has to be spirit. Some things are neutral, correct? I mean, some things that you say, well, the Lord really doesn't care if you painted your house blue or pink. That's irrelevant. He gave you a mind. He gave you decisions. And there are some things that may be spiritually innocuous or they're not damaging one way or the other, okay? Everything does not have to be spiritual. But if it's not spiritual, it is if it's drawing me to the world, right? It's of a spiritual nature. So if something is promoting fornication, if something is promoting drugs, if something is promoting a mentality that draws me away from the world, how do I assess and measure that music? Do we need to come to service and the minister say, okay, you can listen to this artist, you can't listen to this kind of music? May I say, judge within yourself this morning. What is the principle of the Bible? God is a holy God. And be ye holy as he is holy. Does that not address a lot of issues in our life? Clean, pure. And, you know, he said here in this scripture, in the 13th verse, he said, be sober and hope to the end of grace. I know he was not talking about alcohol specifically there. I don't want to rest the scripture, but I will tell you this. It's a little hard to soberly address these issues when you're inebriated. You understand the point? Be ye sober and watch. How then can I, and there's another scripture as we talked about drugs, that one scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with what? Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, if I am taking a substance of any kind that is altering my mindset, that I cannot make clear, clean, rational decisions, there is a scriptural principle. Some of it is almost spelled out, but there's a principle there that teaches that I shouldn't be doing that. We need to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. So if there's something else that I've got to have this to relax me, and I've got to have this to be able to find peace or to drown this out, there's a place there that the Lord wants to fill in our life that I don't have to do those other things. My heart goes out when people have to go out and they're seeking in fornication and adultery and drugs and alcohol. My heart bleeds for them. Because they're looking for something to satisfy them. I have no stones to throw. But I'm thankful I found the answer this morning. And he said, oh, be sober, be vigilant. Be watchful of where the enemy is working. Be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is our comforter. He's the one that will lead us in truth. He's the one that will guide us. He's the one that will give us power. And so then, Lord, I want my life to be led by those principles, not by the things that the world has to offer. So holy. Can you put that stamp of holiness in your life? You say, well, what does the church teach? What do you mean by the church, first of all? Who are you talking about? Well, by definition, folks, church doctrine should be Bible doctrine. Okay? It doesn't go back to this minister or that minister. Church doctrine is Bible doctrine by pure definition. I want it to stay that way. So then in our personal lives, be holy for he is holy. Let that be your guiding principle. It goes beyond what Brother Michael said. It goes beyond warnings that he gave. It goes beyond what Grandma and Grandpa said. You be honest with yourself as we address, what's the foundation of truth? How am I supposed to live? Folks, it takes a lot of honesty with ourselves too, doesn't it? Sometimes it's hard to look at ourselves in the mirror because we like to justify and make excuses for things we want to do. Am I alone in that? Maybe one or two of you. And so we have to be honest with ourselves and say, why do I want to do that? How does it make me feel when I do that? Is it holy? Is it good? Is it profitable? And that principle will take care of a lot of issues that people are stumbling over in their spiritual life. We will conclude there, and Lord willing, we will pick up another time. I want to live for God acceptably, and I'm going to need my mind transformed that I'm not judging things based on the standard of the world, but I'm basing them on clear Bible doctrine and clear scriptural principles that affect these decisions that we face in this generation. Amen.